Well, again, it is a real pleasure to have Reverend McCrae with us this morning. It's also a pleasure to have his wife with us too. But at this stage, I'm going to ask Reverend McCrae to come and to bring God's message to us. The Lord bless you abundantly.
I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 5. The fifth chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. And commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible and God's precious truth. Certainly a joy to be here. We pray that God will bless our coming together as we gather around God's precious word. Luke's Gospel chapter 5 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ship, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, draught of fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word today, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt, our God, take of thy precious word and write it upon the tables of our hearts. We pray that ere we leave this gathering, we pray that, O God, that not only will our ears hear, but our hearts will understand, and that our wills will yield to thy command. Help us this day to listen to thy voice, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning upon from failure to fruitfulness. Now the Savior's ministry could be summed up in two verses recorded in John's Gospel. First of all, in chapter 4, in verse number 34, my meat, Jesus said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And then I believe with all my heart that that ought to be the chief aim and goal of the lives of everyone that knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And God has saved us. And God has saved us to do his precious and his holy will. And may God give us that desire every day that we live, that will be the earnest desire of our hearts, that we will fulfill the will of God who has saved us. Now in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 here, we find it says here, the Lord Jesus continues his earthly ministry because he's busily engaged in preaching the gospel. And in verse number 1 it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now when did it come to pass? We're not actually given to us what transpired from the end of chapter 4 into chapter 5. Chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ was there in the synagogue at Nazareth where he was brought up. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was handed the scroll, and as he took the scroll, he read the scroll, and then as he spake the word unto the people, we find that in actual fact it says in the verse number 28 and chapter 4, and all they in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and they thrust him out of the city. They led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They didn't want to hear what he had to say, because the Lord Jesus Christ told them exactly why he had come into this world, and that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed had come to give sight to the blind, and to heal the broken heart, and to preach deliverance to the captive, and liberty to those that were bruised. But sad to say, the people didn't really want to receive him. Then the Lord Jesus left Nazareth, and he came to Capernaum. And as he came to Capernaum, he entered into the synagogue there. There was a man that was possessed of the devil, an evil spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ commanded that evil spirit to leave the man. And praise God, in a moment he did. And that's the miracle of God's grace, friend. And that's the miracle of salvation, that you could come into a service like this, unsaved, with your back to God and your face toward hell. And yet in a moment of time, thank God, he can gloriously and wonderfully and eternally change it all. And he can save your precious soul. And thank God, you're bound for heaven and for home. That's the miracle of God's grace. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ. He works that miracle. And then he goes into Simon Peter's house. And there Simon Peter's wife was sick of a fever. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed her. And as it came to the end of the day, and as the sun was setting, the people brought all the sick unto Jesus. And the Bible says he healed them all. Thank God, he not only is able to heal the body, but thank God if there's someone here this morning and you have a sin-sick soul, he's able to heal that sin-sick soul. He's able to deliver you from the power of your sin, and he can set you gloriously free. Thank God that tells us that he laid his hands on every one of them and he healed them. Do you desire the Savior's touch this morning? You want the Lord Jesus to come and take over your life and change your life? And thank God he did there in that place. And then when it was day, the Lord Jesus departed into a desert place, because it's important to come apart. But the people followed him, and the people desired the Lord Jesus Christ to stay with him. But the Savior said, no, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. You see, the Savior had a burden for the lost. And so the Lord Jesus Christ goes. He goes to the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And as the Lord Jesus Christ comes there, it says in verse number 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, what to do? To hear the word of God. Sad to say, that's missing today. Sad to say that the tragedy of even our land in Ulster, that once was ablaze with the preaching of the gospel, where once men and women crowded in to hear the word of God, but sad to say, people are not anxious, they're not desirous to hear the word of God anymore. And many people on this, the Lord's Day, have no time for the things of God, no time for the preaching house, no time for listening to what God has to say, because they don't want God to interfere in their lives at all. They're just full of themselves. And all they're interested in is their sin, their own prestige, their own popularity, their own position, their own power. But as far as the Lord's concerned, there's no place for Christ. But here we find the people pressed upon him to hear the word. And the word pressed upon them means this. They were so anxious, they were straining to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. And remember, he's at the verge of the Sea of Galilee. And they pressed so much upon him that in actual fact, he was there at the very edge of the Sea of Galilee. They're really pushing him into the water, so anxious to hear what he had to say. But you know, God has always a plan. The Lord's never taken by surprise, because it says in verse 2, he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. Now those two ships or those two boats were the ownership of people that you and I would know about if you know the Word of God. One was Simon's, or Simon and Andrew's. There were two brothers, and the other were James and John. They were partners in this fishing business. And so we find that these fishermen, they had been out there on the sea all of the night, and now it's the morning, and they've come in. And what are they doing? The Bible says they're washing their nets. Now, why are they doing that? Friend, that was an important task. It wasn't that they were disinterested. Notice they weren't in the crowd listening to Christ. They were busily engaged. The Bible says they were washing their nets, and they were doing it because that was an important thing to do. Because whilst they fished all night, they had caught nothing as far as fish were concerned. They had caught the debris, they had caught the dirt of the Sea of Galilee. And had they left those in the nets would have rotted. The nets would have been, there'd been a stench upon them because of the debris of the bottom of the sea. And that would have rotted the net and weakened the net. And it was important that the nets to be useful and reliable for the future fishing. They had to make them clean. You see, dirty nets would not be useful for the future. And friend, that's also important. There's a spiritual message there. Because the Word of God says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And it's so important. It's so important that if you want to be useful in the hand of the Lord and you want to do a work for the Lord and do more, I tell you, my friend, child of God, you need to live that holy life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness unto the Lord. And our lives, if we're to be useful, they need to be washed. They need to be clean. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. And you see that word cleanseth? It means keeps on cleansing from all sin. Now here we find the Lord Jesus Christ looks. And he sees that there are two boats there. And then he desires to occupy one of these boats. And believe it or not, friend, this was not the first time that Peter and Simon and James and John had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this day it's going to be different. Because the Lord is going to demand from them that day something that he demands of us, and that is full surrender. He was wanting them to give up completely, and that day was going to be a life-changing decision on behalf of Peter and his companions. And so the Lord Jesus, in verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. It wasn't only because he would want to make it a pulpit, but that day there was a greater purpose. That day the Savior would move into the lives of Peter like he never moved in before. That day, Peter's life would be changed for good. And Peter surrendered completely unto the Lord. Now, God doesn't call everyone to leave their full-time employment as he did Simon that day. But God calls every one of us who are saved today to serve him. Ye are my witnesses. And friend, from that moment on, Peter's life was changed. The whole purpose of his living was changed. And Christ demanded him that day, Peter, follow me. Friend, can I ask you this question? Maybe the Lord hasn't called you from your business to go out into a mission field or to be a preacher or to be in full-time ministry. But as God's child, can I ask you one question? Are you in the center of God's will? Because I can tell you, you'll never be content. You'll never know the joy of the Lord in your heart until you're absolutely sure that you're in the center of God's will. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. Paul and Silas, their backs were beaten. They were torn asunder. Their feet were put into the stocks. But the Bible says Paul and Silas, they sang praises. Why? Because they knew they were in the center of God's will. And I tell you, that's what will keep you going. No matter how difficult the day, no matter how hard the journey is, that God has called you to labor for Him, and when you know you're in the place where God wants you to be, you'll stick at it. You'll stay. Because that's where God has called you to be. Over 50 years ago, God called me to Macrofelt. And the night that God called me into the Free Church ministry, God gave me a verse. And God says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And the Lord said, "I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned." See, when I read it that night, be honest, as a young lad of 19 years of age, friend, waters, rivers, fire, I knew there was trouble. But I knew this. God says, "I'm with you." He says, "When thou passest through the rivers and through the waters and through the fire," thank God He brings His people through. And I don't know what your problem is or difficulty you're facing today. Maybe you're facing great decisions in your life. Maybe, friend, let me tell you, something has happened in your life and your life has changed. And maybe you say, "Preacher, you don't understand the difficulties that I'm facing." Let me tell you, friend, God understands all about it. God knows your situation, and there's not a situation too high for Him. There's not a mountain too high for Him to take you over. There's not a valley too deep, but God is able to bring you through. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And when you're in the center of God's will, friend, you can rejoice because God is with you and God will bring you through. And here we find that day started. Peter was just simply washing his nets. But that day didn't finish that day. Way. His life was changed for good. Now the Lord gave a command to Peter. It says here that he entered into the ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And the Lord sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. He went as far as God told him to go. The Lord told him. He says, Just thrust out a little. Just a little. And Peter did it. Are you willing to obey Him? Maybe He's just said, "Thrust out a little." Maybe it's not something important that He has called you to do for Him, as far as the world is concerned, or as far as man is concerned. Maybe it's just a little bit. God hasn't called you to be the preacher. God hasn't called you to be the elder. God hasn't called you to be the member of committee. God hasn't called you to be the Sabbath school teacher. Let me tell you, my friend, it might be the little, but wherever God has called you to, that's where you occupy. And you be content wherever God has called you to. Because I can tell you, if you're not content in the little place that God calls you to, God couldn't trust you in the big place. He couldn't trust you. If you can't trust Him to obey Him, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, He says, "Simon, thrust out a little from the land." And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. In other words, Peter obeyed. He obeyed. And after the Lord Jesus Christ had finished that, then the Bible says in verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking," when the Savior had finished that message to that crowd that had gathered and pressed upon him and streamed upon him to hear his precious word, then the Savior has another message for Peter. He says, "Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Not the little anymore. He says, launch out. Launch out into the deep. Notice, my friend, there's two things there. There's a command, but with the command there comes a promise. He says, launch out into the deep, Simon, and let down your nets for a draught. I'm not fooling you. You're going to get a draught of fish. You're going to get a great amount of fish, a multitude of fish, because the Savior not only gave the command, he gave him a promise. And I trust, my friend, that you're standing on the promises that God has given you. If there's a father here, a mother here, and your family's not saved, and God has given you a promise that all of your children shall be taught of the Lord, you hang on to that promise. Because God, who has given the promise, thank God he'll keep it. I remember when I was a young lad, I was just about 16 years of age, I went to a little mission. Two pilgrims were holding it outside Cookstown. There was nobody who was willing to give them a place to put their little hall to have the mission. And then this wee lady and her husband, they loved the Lord, but they had a little garden in the front of their house, that's all they had. And they said, if nobody else wants the mission, you can have our little garden. And you could put your hall there. They put the hall there, friend. And in that little hall, their son, that they had prayed for 50 years, their son was saved. You see, all those years, they held on to the promise. Because they knew God wouldn't fail. Hold on to the promise today. The Lord Jesus, Simon, he said, launch out. Launch out into the deep. Because you're going to get a draught of fishes. Command with a promise. But notice what he had to do to get that draught in. He had to go with a fish where? He couldn't stay on the shore. He had to go with a fish where. And the Lord Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, some believers, they say this, as far as the work of God's concerned. Our church door and door is open. And everybody's welcome in. And that's good. But don't expect me to go out after them. Don't expect me to bring them in. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And let me tell you, there's men and women in Jamore and they need the Savior, they need the gospel. And may God give God's people this morning the desire to go out after the lost. Don't wait for them to come in God's name, go out where the fish are and seek to bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Oh, may God give us a heart for others. The Lord Jesus didn't say, Peter, stay on the shore, Peter, and let the fish swim in. No, he didn't. He says, launch out into the deep to where the fish are. And may God give God's people here a desire, a love, a burden. Sometimes I think that's what's missing today. A burden for souls. I remember in the early days of the Free Church then, we went out after people. We went with our open ears. We went on their doors with our gospel tracts. No, it wasn't the Jehovah Witnesses. We were there to witness for our Savior. And we invited people in. Now we say, Just let them come. Just let them come. Let them swim to the shore. Jesus said, Simon, go out where the fish are. And then you've got to do something else, Simon. You've got to let down the net. You have a responsibility. Let me tell you, my friend. Simon Peter could have sat on that boat out there in the depths of the Sea of Galilee. And he could have left the boat there. And he could have sat there and the nets in the boat. The fish would never have come. He had responsibility. And child of God, listen. This is what God says to you in Dumore. Ye are my witnesses. You have a job to do. Oh yes, I believe in the sovereignty of God, friend. I believe that God will see it. But I believe that God uses instruments, just as the Lord used Simon. He can use you. And there's not a greater privilege. Listen to me, in all the world, there's not a greater privilege. I remember one time I was over in the United States of America and I was in the White House. And one of these camera boys put a camera around to my face and said, Mr. McRae, tell me this. Have you ever met Her Majesty the Queen? I said, yes, I have. On numerous occasions, I have the privilege of meeting Her Majesty the Queen. He said, tell me, what was the greatest privilege you've ever had in your life? And before God, this is what I said. I said, the greatest privilege I've had in my life is to kneel with a sinner and point them to the Savior. And friend, there's not a greater privilege. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever led one to Christ? Have you ever let down the net? But he had to do it. You notice what Peter said very quickly. Notice. Peter said in verse number 5, when Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Now, friend, let me tell you this. Peter was not arguing with the Lord, but he was honestly confessing failure. We have toiled. Yes, we have put in the effort. My wearisome effort, we've toiled all night. We didn't leave when we pulled up the net the first time and there was no fish in. No, we put it down again and again and again, and we pulled it up and then put it down and we pulled it up, but there was nothing there. We showed our determination. We stayed at the job all night. But we've taken nothing. Lord, we failed. When it says we've taken nothing, you're saying this, not even one. Not even one. Sometimes, you know, God's people can feel just like Peter felt, because they felt dejected. Remember, he was an experienced fisherman. He fished for years on this lake. He was an experienced fisherman. And you can think of the frustration and the exhaustion and the dejection and the weariness of God's child when he says this to the Savior, Master. You know, I grew up learning how and when and where to fish. And I fished all night, but I caught nothing. But you know, friend, you and I could have all the effort of the world, but there's something that God's people need to pray. God, give me power. Give me power. Remember this. You can't save a soul It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's what God's people need. That's what the preacher needs. And that's what you ought to pray, that every time your preacher takes this pulpit, oh God, give the preacher power to preach the word faithfully. And friend, let me tell you, the Lord will honor his word. Without me, you can do nothing. Paul was able to say, I can do all things through Christ. Failure. But notice faith. Notice the end of that verse. We have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, as far as this experienced fisherman was concerned, where he was not the right place. And when he was fishing, it was not the right time. That's why he had been out all night, because that was the time. And where the Savior seemed to have brought him, as far as his experience was concerned, it was neither the place nor the time. But Jesus knows where the fish are. There's no mistake with him, friend. And Peter says, nevertheless, having received your orders, though battling a doubt, in spite of my failure, in spite of our failures all last night, Lord, I'm going to do it at thy word. Because you said it, Lord. That's enough for me. And friend, when you have the word of God to stand on, that's all you need. When you have the command of Christ, that's all you need. At thy word, he acknowledged the authority of the Savior. And here's the response. Faith. I will let down the net. And he did. You see, it started with failure. Now in faith, even though he doesn't understand why the Lord's telling him this place, but he's willing to do it. And friend, there are things in our lives that we cannot understand. There are things that happen in our lives, to be quite honest, we wouldn't plan. But as for God, his way is perfect. You know what the Lord says to me? Trust me. Trust me. And friend, that's what you have to do. Maybe as far as your journey is concerned, you're in a dark place. Speaking to a young man yesterday. And in his life, he's in a very dark place. You know what I told him? I said, son, trust him. Trust your Savior. Trust him to bring you through. And friend, that's what you and I have got to do. Even when we can't see the way ahead, even when the night's so dark, we cannot see our hand even in front of us, the Lord says, trust me. And then, obey me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And Peter, in faith, he let down the net. Now, very quickly, look at verse 6. And when they had done this, because Peter was not only, there's no mention of Simon in this story, but Simon was his brother and his companion in his work. So it says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that their net brake. That brought fruitfulness. fruitfulness. Failure, faith, fruitfulness. When they had done this, there's resignation. There was, my friend, obedience. Maybe there's someone here today, and that's what you're struggling to do. You're struggling to obey. Maybe you have it all planned out your way. Maybe you have your plans. Maybe you have all a life journey set out before you, and this is what you want. But remember, it's not I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Friend, you're not the boss. You see, whenever you hand your life over to the Lord, friend, He becomes Lord. He becomes Master. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And friend, maybe you're struggling, but I tell you this, until you lay down your arms of rebellion and yield to the Lordship of Christ, you'll never know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding within your soul. But notice there's not only resignation, there's reward. Because he enclosed a great multitude of fish. And then there's a wee interesting statement just before we finish. The nets break. It says the net break. Now why did that happen? Why did the net break? Whenever he did what the Lord had told him. Listen, friend, he didn't completely do what the Lord told him. I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. But it said Peter let down the net. He didn't fully obey. And then what happened was this. There were so many fish. The Lord had directed those fish into that net. There were so many that the net broke. And then it says they beckoned onto their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. You see, not only do we have resignation, not only do we have reward, we have recruits. For thank God, there were helpers in the work. And God filled both the boats with fish. And yet when they did it themselves the night before, what did they say? "Master, we have fished all night, and we have caught not even one." Not even one. Friend, even doing the work of God in the power of the flesh, it'll come to nothing. It's in the power of the Spirit of God. "By my power, saith the Lord." Hudson Taylor said, "Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." You see, when Peter had got all those fish, and I'm going to leave this with you. Look at verse 8. Simon Peter saw it. He fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Remember his first word, "Master." Now he acknowledges him. Lord. And I asked you, is he Lord today of your life? Is he Lord of all? Have you given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ? And then it says this. And Jesus said in verse 10, Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Peter's life changed that day. And so did Andrew's. And so did James. And so did John. Because Peter obeyed the Lord. When the Lord Jesus entered into the ship. And you see, when the Lord comes on board, friend, when you yield your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from your sin, and you acknowledge him as your Savior and your Lord. Remember this, from then on, he is the one that's in control. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. From failure to fruitfulness. Friend, that can happen in your life too. If you surrender to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this morning. We thank thee for thy precious word. Father, how easy it is to sing the hymn, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I surrender all. O God, search our hearts today. Help us to go through with thee our vows to pay, our life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to us thy very best. In Jesus' name.